What's up and welcome to With Their Forces Combined, a D&D variant podcast where we explore the quaint town of Cattle Creek.
You're listening to
With
Their
Forces
Combined. With Andrew Karakatsanis as your DM.
With Corey Gray as Wayne Lefty Poncho.
Alex Karakatsanis as Ernie Debruchet.
And Tom Radout as Monty McFuzz.
Last week, our detectives fought the Thunderbirds on the mountaintop. The Thunderbirds didn't just go, they went. Old Red Cloak took off like a Tom DeLonge album. And our ragtag team fought the Thunderbirds and the legendary Chuckles. After the kerfuffle with Chuckles, our detective scoured his pockets to find a monocle and a revolver inscribed with Bullseye. Now that's hitting the nail on the head.
I can't believe this bastard didn't even keep my knife.
See, that's one of the reasons you never lend your knife out, friend. Like, how do you know he's not just going to lend out the knife to someone else, and then he lends the knife to someone else, and next thing you know, your knife's just been transferred to a different land, friend. Never going to see it again.
Do you think that the Red Cloak guy is going to give my knife to someone else? That will be the worst thing he ever does.
Maybe. Why wouldn't he? Not his knife. Monty shrugs.
Yeah, I mean, I lent my knife out, I think it was yesterday, and I still haven't gotten it back.
No, you did. You did.
I actually did give you your knife back.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I actually, when I re-listened to the episode, I was like, oh, nice. He gave him the knife back.
Yeah, he did. I do remember this.
Must
yeah.
have misplaced it.
But what makes it funny, too, and I have to say this now, is like, because not only that, I give it back before I had to go do the challenge a second time. And that's one of the reasons why it stands out, because it's like I went from having two tries to one try, and it's like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have given the knife back just yet. But then it was okay in the end. I had lucky. It wasn't really a big risk, let's be honest.
No, Lefty.
The joke was, I'm pretty sure I rolled something where I was pretty sure it was going to hit, but I just like needed to play it safe too. Where I was like, I think it was like a 15, and I was like, nah, I'm using lucky still.
So you guys are on this mountaintop. The dust has kind of settled a bit. I'll remind you that the rift that was torn open by this knife has now since closed, and you guys see that the moon has started to poke its head out, and it turns out to be quite a beautiful night. You see the clouds quickly dissipate, and yeah, I'll remind you also that you've left your horses not too far away that you tied up around the perimeter, which is, yeah, I think we said about a mile out, something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, I don't know that we can follow those people into this rift that they caused. So maybe it's back to trying to find Electra.
Yeah, I mean, and Monty starts like reloading his rifle and says, I mean, I know we just got to this top of this mountain here, but I am actually starting to get a little bit lower on ammunition than I'd like to be. So perhaps we should consider, you know, getting back to town and seeing what fuss has been, you know, kicked up by them Purpletons and all.
Yes, it would be good to meet them.
Yeah, I think you fellas are onto something, but, you know, I'm pretty beat. I think we need to take those horses all the way into town.
And then Monty nods, puts his rifle down, starts reloading his revolver. Yeah, no, I would tend to agree, friend. I think it's time to go check on Cattle Creek and make sure everything's in order and rest our heads a moment.
Okay. Let's go.
Lefty shoots his Derringer into the sky and uses his bonus action to reload his revolver.
Oh, that reminds me. I figured out what the limiting factor technically would be, like taking the rules to the extreme, but it's still pretty much possible to do what you're doing. The only limiting factor is that you need a free hand to load something, technically, but you could,
I mean, holstering is a free action.
That's what I mean. You can either draw or holster for free, though, so I'm pretty sure, yeah, you can still, like, maybe not quite as effectively as we thought, but you can still, yeah, pretty much do it.
Oh, God.
So the other thing that you guys notice as you're looking around this battlefield are these three thunderbirds that you guys killed last week have started to change color. Their feathers have started to turn that weird...
Right, that we saw before, yeah.
That's right. That weird iridescent color.
Oh, man.
And you do notice, specifically, I guess, Ernie, you notice that they seem to be decomposing at a higher, like an accelerated rate to what you're... Well, it looks weird to everybody, but I think, Ernie, you're the first to pick up on that's what it is.
Yeah, I want to see if I can sort of investigate this phenomenon, if that's cool. Like, see if I can learn anything more about the Thunderbirds that we don't necessarily already know.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you give me an investigation? And assuming you're using your passive for that, could you also give me an Arcana check?
Cool. And yes, I am. That is a 12.
So that's, yeah, the faster rate thing that I just said is kind of your regular investigation. You think it has to do with the fact that they're not from this plane? It does seem that this is just accelerated in some strange way. You can't quite figure out why, because I don't think you know enough about interplanar travel, but you do think that if you brought this to someone who knew better, such as Tom Ladong, they might be able to help you further that knowledge.
And when you say bring this, what exactly are you talking about? The whole corpse?
Either the concept or the corpse obviously would be better from a scientific perspective, but it depends on...
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think Ernie would think it was reasonable to try and drag this Thunderbird corpse back down the mountain.
Yeah, man. If only there was a convenient way of transporting this body.
What are you talking about? Chucking it in the river that flows downhill?
I mean, that's definitely an option.
Listen, you ever tried to drag a Thunderbird corpse out of the river?
Then it's just going to get there way ahead of us and a whole other bag of worms that we got to explain.
A what, Corey? A whole other what?
Bag of worms, I think I said. Is that a...
Sorry, slow that down and delete the last word.
Yeah. Do we have a bag of holding?
No, Alex, you don't.
We have a hat of holding, I think is what he's getting at.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What? I keep forgetting about that. Do we have a hat of holding?
I thought we did, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say. Oh, that's from the
top. I don't have a hat of holding. I think one of you two does, is what I'm getting at.
Ernie's wearing it, and like last two episodes ago, I reminded myself that Ernie was wearing it, and then I completely forgot about that, so my bad.
I've also completely forgotten the stats on that ring.
You've heard of a rabbit coming out of a hat. And then we cut to a 10-minute montage of Ernie just trying to stuff the Thunderbird into a hat.
Yeah, Monty definitely just like looks on skeptically in this montage.
And for the record, it's just because you haven't actually put the bird in the hat, I think, because it's so easy to get it in. It's just like it's 9 minutes of you looking at the bird, back at the hat, looking at the bird, back at the hat.
Right, okay. And then in the last minute, I actually just shove it in. It's very quick.
Exactly.
If only it was a thunder hawk, it all could have happened much sooner, but I'm less familiar with these birds.
Don't be ridiculous, Ernie. Everyone knows that eagle is just another word for hawk.
I heard one is actually a lot more delicious than the other one.
Ernie puts the hat back on his head, terrified for the first second that when he flips it over, the bird's just going to come crashing down on his head.
Yeah, just crush yourself right here.
Yeah, roll dexterity saving throw, please.
That's a 5.
Ernie, you trip.
Is this really happening right now? It's fucking amazing.
Ernie trips, thinking that the bird is going to come out of the hat, which it doesn't end up doing, but he just kind of like rolls his ankle. Yeah.
Ah, shit.
And actually, your speed is reduced to 34 now. 34 feet.
What if I fly?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, perfectly normal.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to roll a constitution check to take off, though, or you take
1d6 and land. And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not bludgeoning damage. It's called ankle damage. Specifically.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you fail enough, your foot falls off.
Damn it. It's not even a 1d4. Okay, okay.
Okay, so.
All right.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Let's head back down the mountain.
I head towards the horse that I tied to the tree.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, Lefty's following.
Although only I tied mine to the tree. I think that'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
I remember that only I tied mine to a tree.
Sorry, so yes, I
if
do.
If your horses
head...
are gone, Monty's going to be very smug right now, for the record.
I do head back in that general direction.
Okay, I want an honest opinion. I was under the assumption that when Monty tied his horse up, everyone tied their horse up.
No, I specifically did not.
No, because everyone made a joke about it, and I was like, no, Monty's still dead. Like, I remember this being a point of contention that, yes, like, the other two were like,
yeah, Lefty definitely would not.
Trees.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys get back there, and Monty's horse is there, and your guy's horse is not.
I was about to call Chuckles, but that's a different campaign.
Yeah, and this one, Chuckles is the one you murdered.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, we haven't resolved Cthulhu yet. I could murder my horse, Chuckles.
It's true. It's not impossible.
We haven't even released it yet.
Yeah. It's a teaser.
That was such an ambiguous yeah, though. Like, it was a yeah where I was like, wait, have we? Like, or does he mean, like, yeah, that's true? I don't know.
That was the yeah of we're in post-production. Yeah, so I guess we get back to the trees and Ernie's sort of like, well, Monty, it appears you were right about tying up your horse.
I disagree. He's fortunate, I suppose, but... not right.
Like I said, I got yelled at one too many times for this. I learned my lesson.
Monty!
Yeah, and I guess Ernie would say, well, I think we should probably try and find these wild, wild horses because it would take, well, you know, maybe we head generally down the mountain. It feels like it's probably going to be easier to find the horses as opposed to just walk down.
Monty!
I mean, that sounds good to me, but I think I'm going to have to share this horse with you, Monty, because otherwise I'm going to be useless for, you know, several days in a row.
I mean, I suppose we can share a horse. Yeah, it's all right with me.
God damn it, Monty!
All right, let's go. And Ernie flies awkwardly with his twisted ankle.
That's the best part, right? That, like, you're just walking and just... we're riding with your twisted ankle.
Can you guys not hear me? Or are you not?
I think we probably couldn't for a while. Yeah. I assume because I haven't heard you for a while.
Yeah, that's
okay. I've been shouting Monty in Ben's voice.
That actually makes it kind of funny, though, where I guess Monty legitimately just missed it in and out of character. And then eventually Monty's kind of like, wait a minute, that ain't the wind. Hold on, Ben, is that you?
Monty, how the hell are you?
Oh, well, goddamn, I'm doing all right. I mean, we didn't get Ernie's knife back, so that was a bit of a bummer, but managed to get that chuckle fuck Chuckles, so as much as I would have liked to interrogate him, you know, at least he's not going to be stealing no one's knife no more.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we killed a bunch of Thunderbirds. That was pretty cool. I was worried about them.
Oh, yeah. Those are scary fuckers. I wouldn't know. I'd never seen one.
They sound just like artillery fire there, Ben. It's quite alarming. Except they shoot lightning out of the sky, which actually didn't hurt as bad as I expected. I mean, I did half get out of the way, so maybe that made a difference. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. We'd really wake you up in the morning, but I expected worse.
You always were lightning quick.
Does Lefty hear any of this?
I presume you hear everything I'm saying, but that's a good question. Does he hear what Ben's saying?
I think so. It's faded, like drastically faded, but it is coming in a little louder than the previous time. You'd have to be relatively close, but if you're on the horses. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's intimately close, we could say.
Who are you guys talking to?
I'd say it hurt well more than I expected. I disagree with Monty here.
It's like the person in the back seat on like a road trip
trying to get
it on the conversation.
And you hear Sam pipes up.
Well, Monty, I am not sure exactly how this works, but
I got a feeling it'll be hard for us to talk like this the further you guys go away from this mountain, so you take care now, all right?
I always do. You know me.
And I'm glad the Sarge taught you well, unlike those folk. Gotta keep your horse close.
Yeah, I mean, I see where they're coming from. Like, you know, I used to think, you know, let the horse run his own situation, but it turns out horses are kind of dumb. So,
yeah, you see, that's the problem there, Ben. These aren't, these horses don't belong to any person. They belong to themselves.
Oh, are you guys talking about cows again?
Well, all right then, Lefty.
Look, this horse has been conscripted for a greater cause. It's just like life.
Mm-hmm.
Although Monty wasn't a conscript, so I don't know why he'd say that. He volunteered to get citizenship. It's totally different.
But he probably believed that people who are conscripted, it was like their destiny to do it anyways.
That's a good point, though. He would have met conscripts and sympathized, empathized with mm-hmm. them. So, yeah, so he would have still said
now
that.
Now, you folks, stay safe, and always remember, Monty, if you need me, if you need us, we'll be there.
Plus, that hopefully I can pick up that guitar and see if there's a signal.
You can always try, Monty. Just like I said, I don't know how strong it'll be further away you get from this here Nexus.
Yeah, fair enough, but... Well, I was always good at marching. Reckon I may be back someday.
Ain't that the truth?
There's something extra funny about hearing the word Nexus in that accent.
And actually, Monty would light up one of his cigarettes, because he hasn't had one in a while, but hiking up the mountain, I was like... Nah, he's not gonna... He's already catching his breath. He wouldn't have one now. But now that he's riding a horse down a mountain, yeah, he smokes one of his cigarettes.
And you guys on your one horse, I will say that you both can ride it. And hilariously, what I'm going to allow is, with the flying, Ernie flies, touches down for that split second, and then like picks his feet up and flies. So you can move with the full speed of the horse is what I'm going to allow.
Sweet.
Downhill I think, flying.
Yeah, I don't think it's that outrageous. And I think the imagery of the three idiots on the horse with like Ernie, like kind of dragging behind the horse.
And to be fair, we're probably not pushing the horse at full speed, right? Like going down a mountain, you want to let him take his time, I imagine.
So, you guys get beyond this like first tier into where you took a break. I will say at the first pass, you guys look around, you don't see these horses. Are you spending time looking for them?
I feel like if this generally seems to be working okay, I would suggest that we continue doing that until it's not working, you know? Because I think the original plan was to just head down the mountain, and if we happen to see the horses, we try and wrangle a couple more.
Okay, and where are you guys heading, I guess?
I think long-term back to Cattle Creek, but like, yeah, I don't know if they want to try to find horses on the way down again.
Andrew, can you refresh my memory? Did we get any sort of location or hint of location for Electra?
No, you were just told find
Electra. That's another reason, though, why it probably makes sense to go back to town, because like, I feel like we can at least talk to people, you know, ask around, try to figure out if anyone knows. Because like, we haven't really known of her before, right? So we haven't had a chance to investigate. So there might be like a bunch. Like even the library might even mention it, right? For all we know.
And I will say that you guys generally, as a group, maybe not Lefty, know a lot of the townies. And for someone that has been in this town, especially that family line for that long, why don't you give me an insight roll, I guess? Ernie, who's thinking about this?
That is a 17.
Yeah, I think you kind of put this together. For someone with a family line that is so known in the town, for you not to be aware of that person, they're either in hiding or more likely you think it's probably someone that you know. They just haven't introduced themselves to you as Electra Spiridion. So maybe they're in hiding in that sense.
I bet Ladong might know.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. I think just based on getting this decomposing Thunderbird corpse to our friend Tom, Tommy, as I like to call him, if we were to head there, I think he probably has a good or some sort of guess maybe as to where to start searching for Electra as well. I also think it's worth mentioning that maybe we should try to be a little bit sneaky when we go back into town, just in case the Purpletons are looking for us.
I mean, I don't know that we shouldn't talk to the Purpletons, perhaps. I don't see any reason why not.
I agree. It might be good to get a lay of the land before we do, though. But, yeah, maybe that's semantics.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was never one to trust Purpletons. I'm just saying that, I mean, we've had to deal with a lot, and I don't know if it makes sense to be making enemies with no Purpletons, and we have no reason to believe why they'd be coming at us.
Yes, that is true. Yes.
Like I said, I ain't a fan of the Purpletons, but that was before I knew that our town was being ransacked by sorcerers riding Thunderbirds. Because if there's one thing I hate more than Purpletons, it's sorcerers riding Thunderbirds. I had to.
And I mean, we are, you know, junior good detectives, so they can't arrest us for anything, right?
Yes, it's true.
That's true. You can't convict a detective for a crime he's investigating. It's a known fact.
Especially not if he's junior and good.
Otherwise, the law would never work. You'd be finding him at the scene of the crime. They'd be like, he returned to the scene of crime. It's like, nah, he's investigating the scene of the crime. It totally throws everything off if you're accusing the detective.
Exactly. And I think we continue heading towards Tom Ladong's house.
It's like really far though, right? Like we'd probably have to make camp even along the way. Or is that changed?
I would assume so, but I think that's the general direction.
How like long would it take us to get back to town?
So yeah, you guys took, it was half a day on horseback to get up to the mountain. So half a day to get back there. You guys spent a half a day climbing up the mountain, not on horseback, to get to the top of the waterfall. And then from there, you probably estimate a full day not on horseback. So, yeah, a day and a half from here, not on horseback, whatever that translates to.
We also went through a bunch of portals. I don't know how that affects the mathematics here.
The portals were before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But we should probably make camp sometime soon.
Yeah.
And you guys see the moon illuminate Cattle Creek as you're looking out over the mountainside. And it's actually, like, it's quite gorgeous, especially considering how gloomy it's been in the past little bit.
It's fan art worthy is what you're getting at?
Especially with the friggin' two guys riding the horse and Ernie holding onto the horse's tail flying. That's so good.
Wait, when did I start holding onto the horse's tail?
It's how you're moving at the same pace.
That's how I pictured it. Sorry.
That's the caveat for me being able to move at the
same
pace.
Yeah. That's just how I had it in my head. It I guess it doesn't have to be. It has to be.
Monty's horse is going to hate Ernie after this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'd be offended if he didn't.
No, I heard actually horses enjoy it when you hold onto their tail for extended periods. The longer the better, in fact.
Why else would it be called pin the tail on the donkey?
Donkeys actually invented that game. It's propaganda.
Well, first we're on like eagles versus donkey. Hawks. Now we're on donkeys versus horses. Where's this podcast going? I have no idea.
Mules as well.
Mules. Same.
I have heard donkeys are more delicious though.
Donkeys are just short horses.
There's a restaurant by my apartment that's called Donkey King, and apparently they serve like donkey meat sandwiches, which I'm not
what?
That's dangerous super... too. Because apparently donkeys are very vengeful. So you know, donkey meat sandwiches, like what if the donkey's like relatives find out like, pretty...
What an ass.
No, apparently this is like a weird bizarre thing though, where like because donkeys are so vengeful, there's been cases where like another animal on the farm will get like attacked. the donkey will like kill the coyote or something, but then after that the donkey just becomes like really aggressive, just like assuming like I killed once, I'll have to kill again, goddamn it. And then they have to like separate the donkey. It's really sad, even though he was just being a good friend.
Damn it, why wasn't Monty a donkey? That was an excellent donkey voice.
Yeah, Monty's kind of different from the average what you'd expect a cat to talk like, you know.
Meow. I don't expect my cats to talk, so.
A tiger maybe, but you know, I wouldn't call Monty a tiger.
Oh, let's not get into that.
An orange and black striped cat is not necessarily a tiger.
Like Garfield.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, you don't sound enough like Bill Murray, honestly. You need to work on that.
Was Bill Murray Garfield in the movie?
In the cartoons. Yes.
In the cartoons, really? Was he actually? I don't think I ever realized that. That's fascinating. Not that I watched the Garfield cartoons often. I'm thinking about it. I think I've seen like one episode and I was like 10 years old at the time, so it's not exactly fresh in my memory.
Yeah, I just remember the comic strips.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I think we try and make camp.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys sit down to make camp for the night. And you're doing our usual shift work, I imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get one of you three to roll me a d12?
I'll do it. Ha! One.
You guys sleep peacefully through the night, don't encounter any issues, and unfortunately, you don't get any other horse-like visitors as you're sleeping through the night. You guys short rest, long rest, but I know they're close together, but you guys level up because of your fight with Chuckles and the Thunderbirds.
Hey.
Woo. New band name idea.
But also I'm confused. So do we count it as a long rest? Or do we count it as a short rest?
We do count this one as a long rest because it's
I thought. I was pretty sure it was just the wording of it for Mona. I was like, wait, hold on. So
yeah, do I get my spells back?
Long rest / short rest.
Sweet. I get two attacks. By the way, do you guys have like 2 gold pieces? Because I have 2 gold pieces and 8 silver pieces.
I have 3, but like
okay, yeah.
I think I have like quite a bit more.
Although I have a bunch of silver. So actually, if I converted all my coins, I'm pretty sure I have like 21, 22.
Jesus.
Yeah, I have 23.
Most of my money's in silver.
That's probably an accounting error, but whatever.
Ernie lost his money, is what I assume.
Yeah.
No, Ernie did spend a lot of it at the start of the campaign, like giving it to barkeeps and like tipping heavily. And
oh, and you bought all the drinks and stuff.
Yeah,
this is actually coming back to me.
That's true.
Why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an Alex character.
No, because I you were like tipping like 10 times the price of the drink. Right. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I feel like you tipped like
that
a
sounds
lot,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
If anything, it ruined my Barry's 20% tip joke when it's just like, well, fine, do a 500% tip. Make it all make no sense. I don't remember what it was, though. It might have only been a 100% tip, but I feel like it was at least 100%.
I mean, who knows with my dumb characters. I'm like, I must observe good bartending etiquette even in game. With every character, regardless of their personality.
Hell yeah.
Although at that point, is it even good? Like, if someone tipped that much, wouldn't a party be like, hold on, what's going on here?
I wasn't that good at providing service.
Is this guy trying to fuck me with his 500% tip? I don't know.
I promise I never thought about it like that. I'd just be like, oh, sweet, thanks, man. And move on with my life.
Literally, the guy's rubbing his hands together. Perfect.
Yeah.
So he won't say no.
But that's probably hubris. Like, I probably walked away being like, I did deserve a 500% tip.
Yeah, or the flip side where the guy's like, oh, fuck, not going to make my payments this month now.
I moved to 0, and I'm like, get out of here, man. Yeah. No take backsies.
Are you sure you didn't mean $5? $500? Yeah. All right, so you guys sleep through the night. And you wake up in the morning feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. In fact, Lefty, you no longer have a point of exhaustion.
Yay.
Oh, true. That's big.
Yeah, I got all excited last time because I thought I was the one with the point of exhaustion. And my beastly my beastly endurance lowers exhaustion level by 1.
Yeah, that would have been appropriate and sweet.
Yeah.
I guess Lefty is just not beastly.
Is it like you treat yourself as one less, or you prevent up to one level each time?
I think it's treat yourself as one less, but I'll double check right now.
Still good, but the second one would be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true.
No, yeah, it must be the first one. The other one would be so exploitable.
And you guys are heading back down the mountain towards Ladong's house, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm currently looking up the definition of phylactery because of my new ability I have.
Ooh.
Well, normally that's like a D&D lich thing, I'm pretty sure, but I assume it's not for you.
It's a object that you trap a soul in is what a phylactery is.
It's like a horcrux, basically. Yeah, well, no, but isn't it? No, I'm pretty sure it's for your own soul, I thought. Like, isn't it pretty much a horcrux?
Yeah, as far as I know, it is for your own soul, yeah. It's usually like a lich thing so that when they die, they can... Yeah, it is exactly like... It's exactly like a fucking horcrux.
Or really, a horcrux is like a phylactery.
Right,
like,
which is why I wasn't...
First, yeah.
Right, which is why I was trying not to give in, but that was the most succinct way of explaining it, for sure.
All right, so I guess when we're at camp, I find like a lucky rock on the ground or something as soon as I wake up.
Okay.
Hey, fellas, look at this.
Oh, man. Just the mad scramble to find your rock in a fucking pile of rocks. No, one of these contains my soul, guys. We gotta stay here.
That's the safest Horcrux, honestly.
Yeah, you fucking find it.
Yeah, good luck.
It's a regular rock.
Well, that is always the funny thing with, like, the Lich's Phylactery. It's like, yeah, you could on one hand make it this really obvious guarded thing, but it's also like... Is it not a decent move to just make it like, well, how would anyone ever figure this out?
Oh, I wonder if it's that giant emerald encrusted crystal skull.
Right? Yeah, as opposed to like, no, it's just like one of your bedposts, like in one random room, you know, just no one knows. But then if someone comes and steals your bed, then you're going to feel like a real idiot, to be fair. But
you don't understand. I lost my bed and my soul.
Okay, so you guys are fast-tracking it down this mountain on horseback, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit the fast travel button, DM.
Okay, you guys take your sweet-ass time getting back to the...
That's fair. That's what happens when you fast travel. It's never as efficient.
Yeah, it's true. There was a loading screen. Yeah. It took forever.
And you make sure it's safe, and you undergo correct mountain declimbing procedures. And
nice.
You get to the top of the waterfall at about midday, just before, I should say. It's still a beautiful scene of the town beneath you. And you guys are going to try to make your way around and down the mountainside. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do so, and you get into town at about evening time here.
I think we can still... go to Tom Ladong's house if we want to.
I mean, that seems fair.
Yeah, it's probably best before the Thunderbird goes away completely.
Good idea. And we keep heading toward Tom Ladong's.
And you guys make it to Tom Ladong's house, and you rap on the door, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, tying up my horse first, though.
I assume that's canon that Monty does that. So.
Yeah, I was debating. I was like, I feel like it goes without saying after I went over the backstory of it, but I'm saying it now that it goes without saying.
Okay. And
Ladong, am I right?
Pretty good. Nobody comes to answer the door.
Maybe he's in his study or something.
No, you can't be about to yell out, "Hello there." But we don't say the angel from my nightmare. That would be ridiculous.
you get no response to that, Monty.
I think Ernie gently tries the door.
You see that the door is open.
Hello? Tommy?
You don't hear a response.
Where are you?
You hear a response to that one, actually.
Perfect.
That's a joke.
I knew if we quoted enough songs, it would work, right?
Is it a pre-recorded message that says, I'm so sorry, I can't get to the phone right now?
No, it is not. Sick of your jokes. What is this, a comedy podcast?
Allegedly.
Tommy, I hope you don't mind, but we're going to go further into your house because I'm worried that you're dead.
It has been happening to lots of folks recently.
We clearly have to leave a note that says, "Where are you? I'm so sorry for breaking into your home."
Or just, "I'm so sorry I missed you."
Oh my god.
I obviously go over and check that little table by the couches with all the small things on it.
Lefty's gonna go upstairs.
Yeah, I would follow. Yeah,
I think I legitimately like go to Tom's office and start looking for like a paper and a pen to write, "Hello there, where are you? Sorry we missed you. Sorry, I'm so sorry we missed you." And then to put it on a table somewhere. Well, they do their thing. That's what Monty's doing.
Okay. What are the other two doing?
After my dumb joke, I'm just headed up the stairs with Corey.
Okay, roll an investigation check for the table with all the small things on it.
19.
Did you roll that, or you used your passive?
I used my passive.
Damn. I like how you say it like you're rolling. Like, I noticed at this point if it's 19 or 20 perception. I'm like, he obviously didn't roll that. But you say it as if, like, ha-ha!
Well, it's like, you know, I've just never had the observant feat, so it's
oh, no,
like,
totally, totally. It's yeah, more like it's, I literally picture you rolling the dice, and then my brain goes, he didn't roll the dice. Stop lying. Yeah.
Man, that guy's so good at rolling exactly 19.
Like I say, it's your tone. Like, as if you're surprised. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, yeah, another 19. Take that. That was a close one, boys.
Honestly, I think it's just because I keep forgetting that I have it. And then going, oh, 19.
Yeah, so excited to get. Yeah, it is 19. Yeah.
Just like, oh, I don't have to roll. Sick.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you guys doing? Where are you going? Just upstairs?
Well, yeah. I assume wherever his study is, which I think was upstairs.
Oh, was his office upstairs? I pictured it was made
for. Wasn't there that conspiracy room that's on the first floor?
He has his room upstairs with, like, the seismograph and, like, it's kind of an office thing, which I'll call the study. But he also has his, like, conspiracy room downstairs, just like Corey said.
Yeah, I think that's where Monty was looking for the paper and pen, realistically.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ernie would go there, too, before going upstairs.
Okay.
Clear the first floor first.
Okay. So, you guys all walk into the house. Lefty goes upstairs. Ernie goes to the table with the small things, and Monty goes into the conspiracy room. After that happens, Ernie goes into the conspiracy room. So I'm going to resolve Lefty's thing first.
Okay.
Nice.
After I resolved Ernie's first stupid thing that you're stuck to because jokes are more than just jokes. They're realities here.
It's true.
This is a strict podcast.
I'm so sorry.
Lefty, you don't run up the stairs, completely ignoring all the small things, and you're heading toward the study, is that right?
If I pass like other rooms on the way, I'd like peek into them. Just because I figure like if he didn't hear us, he's probably not on the first floor sort of thing.
Okay, you don't see Tom in any of those rooms, and then you get to the study, and... give me an investigation check or a perception check. I guess why don't you give me an investigation check for the entire upper floor and then give me a perception check when you enter the room.
Okay. That's 15 investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And perception is 13.
So looking around, you see the upper floor seems like relatively normal right up until you get to the study. And you notice that looking around this room, you see that the seismograph has had the baseline thunder that you were shown by Tom the previous time you were in here that has suddenly stopped. And you associate that with you guys killing those Thunderbirds and also the Thunderbirds leaving. They seem to not be affecting this plane anymore. But what strikes you as odd is it seems to have been piling up since before that. And as you look through these papers, it looks like this has been unattended since before you guys had your encounter with Chuckles. Okay, so as you realize that, we'll go to the other room. Ernie and Monty, you walk into this conspiracy room. Ernie, as you do so, you see Monty scribbling on a piece of paper. Why don't you guys, Monty, if you think you would be doing this, and Ernie, I think you will be, give me an investigation check, which is 19 for Ernie. Why did I ask? Monty, do you think you would be?
No, I think it takes a long time to write the message for him. Sorry, real quick, just for the visual, because I feel like Monty takes more time like deciding what to say than he spends like writing it too. You know what I mean? Like he really ponders for a while about choice of words.
And then lands conveniently on Blink-182 songs.
Yeah, but he spells like two words wrong at least.
Well, wait a minute. Are these Blink-182 songs? I had the dumbest joke teed up for when Corey was looking around upstairs, and I want you to know I didn't say it either. That's my gift to you. I was going to say, because you were looking for stones, that you walked into a room that's just full of like stones and different rocks with like a banner that looks like a sort of a puppet show was going on. And the banner says The Rock Show.
Don't blink or you'll miss it.
I was definitely like a real life pun dumbass, though, when I saw Blink-182 live. The amount of times where I obnoxiously was just like, is this The Rock Show? Are we at The Rock Show? Andrew would have loved it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I would have loved it.
Obviously, when they played The Rock Show, I had to go nuts, naturally.
And you look at this room, and it, again, it looks like it's been a couple days since Tom's been in here. The room's gathering a bit of dust. You see the similar, like, question mark string connecting one thought to another. You see that this feather is linked to the library, and that is where we're going to end our session.
Oh, fuck. We've got to go back to the library.
Are you seriously telling me the first one they went to was fucking Ladong?
Of course that's the first person they talked to, Jim. It's Tom Ladong.
Yeah, obviously if you have the chance to talk to Tom Ladong, you talk to Tom Ladong, Jim.
God damn it. Stop doing that. You can't just make this a thing.
I'd like to go on the record and say that I think Tom Ladong is an excellent choice of first person to talk to.
See, Jim, Bob gets it.
Fine. Fuck you guys. I need to piss anyways.
Classic Jim and his tiny bladder.
Fucking assholes. What in the hell? Where's it? Is this a goddamn curtain?
Hey, yo, this is the fucking washroom. I'm Brick the Curtain. Now piss and get out.
What kind of a soulless monster would remove the washroom's talking door and replace it with a goddamn talking curtain?
People were complaining, bro. The talking door had to go. I'm not a rhyming door. I'm a curtain. So fuck you. I don't make the rules.
In what kind of twisted, Moloch-loving hellscape of a world would a talking curtain be an improvement? First of all, Brick, if that is your real name.
It is.
Sure, buddy. And second of all...
But, you didn't say a first thing, bro.
Your name is the first thing, Brick, because Brick is a name that I find suspicious. And second of all... No one was complaining about the fucking door part of the talking door.
I mean, stop right there, bro. Are you suggesting that a door is better than a curtain? Don't make me flex my fabric on you.
Look, there is a time and a place for curtains, but a washroom door is not one of them. And third of all, if someone had gotten used to the talking door, not me, obviously, because I think talking doors are an invasion of privacy, but if someone way, way softer than me had, or were, future hypothetical tense, wanting to talk to the door about something like, I don't know, like maybe if something really mean happened to them while a detective was trying to frame them for a murder, but like I didn't kill anyone, though. Not even a fish person.
Look, bro, this is a washroom, not a let's have a secret conspiracy meetings room, all right? Can you just piss and leave before you rope me into whatever you're going down for? I just come on, man, I was in the middle of a sentence.
Well, well, well. If it isn't Jimberly Mouthsman Withers.
Meat Hook Pete.
Oh, come on, Jim. That was a long time ago. You can't let one friendly fire incident define a man.
All right, sure, but it was his first mission, and he was unarmed.
Exactly. An unarmed agent was a danger to all of us. You know that, Jim.
Exactly.
Besides, Jim, you had it coming. Just like Charlie did.
Oh, bullshit. We both know that beer was meant for me, Pete. You never even meant to kill Charlie.
Excuse me. At risk of repeating myself, this is not a secret conspiracy room, nor a confession room. So could you both stop doing that to the murders, piss, and get the fuck out, please?
That rule doesn't apply to me, Brick. I have full washroom privileges.
Oh, level 9? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your all-access pass. That's my mistake. But also, you guys should probably lower your voices if you want to not again!
There you are, Mr. Girk wants to know what's taking so long.
Relax, Goose, man. We were just, you know, catching up.
Well, can you catch up on the way? Mr. Girk is a very busy man.
Well, fine. All this talking has ruined my piss appetite anyways. Lead the way, Rolf Goosper.
Okay, I don't know that reference, sir, but I suspect that you're doing the goose Nazi thing again, and I'd ask you to please refrain from this behavior.
Whoa, easy there, propaganda minister. Why don't you head back to the washroom and make sure that Curtin understands his NDA and the concept of extrajudicial consequences?
Yes, sir.
Pete, do you ever question for a moment whether you become one of the bad guys?
Jesus, Con Jim. Can't you just get over the fact that I tried to poison you once?
No! I was telling stories, Pete!
Alright, you can cry about this later. Sorry we're late, Mr. Girk.
Ah, Mr. Withers, have a seat.
I'd rather stand, thank you.
Alright, if you insist. Let me get right to the point, Mr. Withers. It seems that a certain Detective Yorklin has become a bit of a complication. You see, I run a restaurant, so I need lots of workers, but I don't exactly need detectives.
So why don't you just get Pete here to take him out?
Let's just say I don't need the detective, but unfortunately, I would very much like to know what he knows. When Detective Yorklin needs to piss, I need you to get him talking, and then finish his story.
Then you need to contact me discreetly and pass on that intel to me. Discreetly.
And I assume you've already wired half the money to my account?
Mr. Withers, you are a funny elephant. I like funny elephants. Of course, it's been wired. I am a man of business, after all.
Of course, Mr. Girk. Looks like I better get back to my table, then.
You didn't tell him Gloop Glab's still alive.
I didn't see any reason he needed to know. After he takes out Yorklin, he'll just be another loose end.
And what if Gloop Glab gets back before Jim takes out Yorklin?
Then we figure it out, Pete. Now are you, or are you not, gonna love how this unfolds?
Sorry, Mr. Girk, you're right. I'm gonna love how this unfolds.
Yorklin's a fool for not copyrighting that one.
Hi, this is Ernie from the acclaimed podcast With Their Forces Combined. The guys wanted me to thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you liked the show, let them know. You could tell your spirit hawk to leave a sign in the sky. You could leave them a 5-star review. You could follow them. You could subscribe to them. You could share it with your animal friends. Show it to a squirrel. Show it to a dolphin. Show it to your friends. Maybe your friends aren't squirrels and dolphins. I'm just adding a third option. But if you really like it, you can throw them some gold on their Patreon. I know they have some extra episodes incoming soon. You can also reach them on Instagram at WTFC.podcast. Cory likes to post his art there, and you can even find some extra words of wisdom from Mrs. Storyteller. Thank you.